So I was clearing about what shmooze to say, the first shmooze of Elul. So I have a shlodi shmo to talk about tefillah. I have to speak in Shomrei on Sunday about tefillah, so I'm thinking about it, so I have some thoughts I want to share with you. The only reason why I was hesitant to talk about tefillah is because it's a standard shmooze you say in yeshiva is about tefillah. And we don't want to appear that we're too normal here. That being said, person gets a matana, gets this new, open up this box, and there's a machine in there. He's not really familiar with the machine. And the person gives it, says, "What are you going to do with it?" He says, "I don't know. What does it do? I can't answer what I'm going to do with it till I know what it does for me." So people talk about they want to have meaningful tefillah, they want accomplishment, they want to get more out of their davening. What does davening do for you before we can answer that question? We know what davening does to me, then we can talk about how can we use davening appropriately to accomplish what we want to accomplish. So what do you want to accomplish when you daven? What is the purpose of davening? What are we trying to accomplish when we daven? So you know that the most obvious answer, the Rambam understands, Chazal, Sifri, that Ulov de Bechol Levavchem, Ezeh Avodah Shehi B'Lev, is referring to tefillah. So tefillah is a form of avodah. Tefillah is many other things besides that, but tefillah is a form of avodah. And that's very difficult to understand how that tefillah, the way tefillah is presented, the way we have tefillah, how is tefillah an avodah? So let's explain. The Rambam explains that there are three parts of tefillah. There's the shabach at the beginning of the tefillah, there's the tefillah, and then there's the hidah at the end. So the Rambam sees that the primary element of tefillah is the middle brachas of Shemoneh Esrei, where you're asking from a Kadosh Baruch Hu for whatever your needs are. So the Shevach is not the Avodah. The Haidah is not the Avodah. The Shevach is the appropriate thing. You come to the Melech. He says, first you have to say some words of Ritzu before you come to the Melech. After you went to the Melech, you say thank you. So that's not the Avodah. So what's the Avodah? The Avodah is the Bakasha in the middle. So I come to the Kadosh Baruch Hu and say, listen, you know, I'm here to ready to serve you. I would like this and that other thing. So I make him a list, laundry list of what I like, and that's called service. That sounds more like he's the servant and I'm the master. I'm presenting him with a list of what I would like. How does that avoid it? Okay? So take it a step further. The Rambam's formula is going to be difficult for a different reason. So we know there's a lot of kavanah and tefillah. There's multiple kavanahs you have to have in tefillah. But one of the kavanahs you have to have in tefillah is pirush hamilas, which is, I want to point out, that's like Kavanah 101. That's the most basic. Right? My goal in life is to have Kavanah and Pirush HaMilas. No, that's like, you know, that's step number one. Your goal in life is to have much more than Kavanah and Pirush HaMilas. But I have to understand what I'm saying in the first Bracha Shemoneh Esrei. The rest of Shemoneh Esrei, I don't have to know exactly what I'm saying. I have to know that I'm standing in front of the Kodesh Baruch Hu, where Rav Chaim understands in the Rambam that tefillah is a chefza of a midah lifnei Hashem, of a midah lifnei HaMelech. I have to be aware I'm talking to Hashem. I'm not sure exactly what I'm saying. I'm not sure what the words mean. I don't know exactly. I don't read Hebrew so well, but I know I'm talking to Kadosh Baruch Hu and I'm presenting him with these words. That I have to have, but I have to know what I'm saying in the first bracha Shemoneh Esrei. So imagine the following scenario. Right, it's Nila Yom Kippur. A person has just finished Nila. And he's not sure whether he davens correctly, whether he was yotze tefillah or not. He's very tired, very worn out. He wasn't so focused, etc. So he goes over and he asks his rav. The two people come to the rav with a shaila. Person number one walks to the rav and he says, "You know, I'm almost exhausted. I forced myself to focus on the first bracha Shemoneh Esrei, what the words meant. I focused on that. The rest of Nila was a wash. I almost couldn't focus. I just said the words." That's one person. The second person says, "Rebbe, what can I tell you? It was the most uplifting, inspiring of tefillah I've ever had in my life. I was so focused. I thought about everything. But the first bracha, my mind wandered. I'm not sure what I said in the first bracha." So we would say, the second person, I mean, he thought about the words, he did tshuva, he spoke about Yom Kippur. He had all of those kavala kavanas. The first bracha, no, he missed the first bracha. The other fellow had come on in the first 40 words, and the rest of the Shemoneh Esrei he's lost. So who wins? But the luck is that Kavanah is ma'akev in the first bracha, and not in the rest of Shemoneh Esrei. So what does that say to us? Like, what's the message of that? Think about it, to stop and think about it, that says to me that whatever tefillah is supposed to accomplish really is there in the first bracha. If you got the first bracha right, you got it. You can do more, you can expand, you can develop, etc. But if you got the first bracha right, you have tefillah. And if you didn't get the first bracha right, you don't have tefillah. Okay? The challenge is, we have no idea what the first bracha is talking about. We know what the words mean. What is the message? I ask you, what is the message of the first bracha of Shemoneh Esrei? What are you supposed to walk away with? What message is the first bracha saying to us? What do they want us to walk away with? Rebbe writes about that the idea of tefillah, part of tefillah is tefillah should talk to you. Tefillah is an act of, you're saying the words. That's what says this. Says the, why is tefillah called tefillah? He connects it to the word palel, which is to judge. Is there a certain concept, a certain truth that we know? And we have to wonder ourselves, are we living with those concepts? Are we taking those concepts from the world of our mind into the world of reality? And that's what tefillah is. Tefillah is the act of sort of challenging myself. Am I living with these concepts? So that's why tefillah is always presented in the Hispoel. It's you are doing something to yourself. You are judging yourself. Okay, so let's take that. So what is the first bracha? What's the hispalel? What is the message? What is the truth that I'm supposed to walk away with from the first bracha? Because I'll say, you say, L'kei Avraham, L'kei Yitzchak, L'kei Yaakov, Rashi brings the parashas Lech Lecha. Yochel, that you would be chosen with all three of them. It says, V'hayei bracha, we're chosen with Avraham. That's a nusach that Rashi brings from the Medrash. The truth is, there's a nusach of another Medrash which says, the Rosham says, not only is that we're going to put the first bracha Shemoneh Esrei going to be about the Ovis, that it's Avraham is special, but the Rosham says, I'm going to put your bracha before my bracha. And if you think about it, it makes a lot of sense. Look at Shemoneh Esrei. The second bracha Shemoneh Esrei is so inspiring. The Rosham is powerful. He's the source of everything. We relate to those ideas. Mama Shemendous praise the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So I come to Kodesh Baruch Hu and the first bracha, and I say, Rabbi, you're special, you're unique, because you're like Avraham. At a Maisa once, I was visiting somebody in the hospital. Person was having some challenges, mental health challenges. He was in the hospital. So when I walked in, I came to visit one person. I walked in, the nurse sees me and says, you're a rabbi? I said, I'm a rabbi. He says, we have some. I want you to please come meet with somebody. So I took care of the person X, and I went to the person Y. It's a young man, I don't know, age 18 or so, very difficult life, different situations. He attempted suicide. And I'm all of a sudden, I had any briefing beforehand. Young man, he said, please talk to him, Rabbi, please talk to him. So, sat down, talking to him, and difficulties, etc. I said, do you daven? He says, no, I don't daven. Kushbrook, I'm so worthless at Kushbrook, I never want to hear from what I have to say. I've done so many bad things, so many averas, and Russia doesn't want to hear from me. So I said to him, we start off an essay with Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. Like, why is that how we start? So I come to this world in Brooklyn, Eli Rangold. You're not interested in answering Eli Rangold necessarily. I'm not so important to you. I'm not doing so well, etc. You know, my Zayda was such a special friend of yours. And my Alta Zayda was even a bigger friend of yours. And my Alta Zayda, what can tell you, your best buddy is my Alta Zayda. So in honor of my Alta Zayda, please listen to me. Okay. That's one step. But how's that a Shabbat to Kodesh Baruch Hu? The first three brachas are shevach. I get it, it's a nice thought, right? It was a good thing for on the spur of the moment. What would you answer if a guy tells you he wants to commit suicide and he can't daven? Okay. Anyway, so the Roshim is the burial of the whole world. I have used this mashal before. You know, maybe some of you remember it. I said this mashal before, I'm walking around my house, the yeshiva, and you know everybody has to have a chassidus, a rabbi shemayfus once in his lifetime, right? Right? So I'm walking through my house in Shiva and I hear a voice which says Rabbi Reingold. And I look around and there's nobody there. Right? So I start going right there. I hear it again. I'm looking around. Who's talking? What's talking? I look down, there's a little ant, a little marashkala, as they say in Yiddish, looking up to me and says, Rabbi Reingold. I says, wow, this is really extraordinary. To me, it's going to be the Reingold biography. Right? That ant's talk to me. Right? And the ant says, Rabbi Reingold, I want to tell you, you know, we've thought about you a lot. We really hold a lot of you. And from now on, you're going to have the title of the Rabbi of the Ants. You know, listen, you got to get covered wherever you can get covered from. But you know, but this, there's a limit. Rabbi of the Ants. Is that a shevach or is that an insult? How big is the universe? You know, trillions of light years, quintillions, quadrillions, whatever, sextillions of light years. Rabbi Chaim Tukhachinsky wrote a kuntres on Birchas Hachama for the Birchas Hachama, which took place in the 50s. And he put out this little kuntres on it. An introduction he had, besides the halachas, he had some makshav and some musr. So that right then they were building the observatory, the Mount Palomar Observatory, the Hale Observatory on Mount Palomar. They were building this telescope, which is going to be the biggest telescope which existed on Earth, and they're going to unlock the secrets of the scientists are saying we're going to unlock the secrets of the universe. With this telescope, we're going to figure it all out. 1953. So he has the following comments. He says, imagine a gigantic ball the size of this room. Like, picture such a ball, right? On that ball, there's a speck of dust. Like the size of the dust compared to the size of the ball, it's, you know, it's 1 billion, 1 trillion. On the speck of dust, there's millions of molecules in a speck of dust, right? There's a molecule. In the molecule, there's an atom. In the atom, there's an electron. And on the electron, there's a little guy saying, I'm going to unlock the secrets of the ball. That's how big we are, maybe, unlock the secrets of the universe. That was his comment. The Rosh says, the Rosh is molei kol olam kuloi, in the physical world, in the non-physical world. And we're coming to praise him. We're saying, Rosh Hashem, you're extraordinary, you're awesome, you're special, because you know what? Because you're the God of Abraham. You're the rabbi of the ants. Is that an insult? How's that a shevach? What is that bracha saying? That bracha is saying, the Rosh says, I care about you so much. I care about human beings so much. I care about Klai Yisrael so much. I care about Avraham Avinu so much that for me it's considered a praise to say I'm Elokei Avraham. That's what Elokei Avraham means. That being, which is, we have no way to comprehend what that means. Physical size doesn't make sense. The Bereshit considers it a praise that he has a relationship with us to the point that that's how we refer to him. That is a statement of Ahava from a Kodesh Baruch to us, that his care, his concern, his interest in mankind, in us specifically, is so overwhelming that it's worth it for him, that should be his praise. That's the first Baruch Shemon Esrei. If you walk into Shemon Esrei and you walk out, no, the Kodesh Baruch Hu loves you. Baruch Hu loves you. But not stop. He wants a relationship with you. He cares about you. He is interested in you to the point that saying we can talk to him directly. So Hashem says, why do you say Hashem says Saitiv talk before you start Shemon Esrei? Because a person would stop for a moment to be misbinded in the godless of the Bore, you would be struck dumb. It's impossible to talk. I once read an article. There's a Ger Tzedek in Eretz Yisrael. He's from one of the African countries. His father was the king. His father was a king with the power of life and death. And he describes, it was a Rosh Hashanah essay talking about what it means to stand in front of a king who has the power of life and death. It says, there's people who are extremely, the ministers, the wise, they would come into the king and they would tremble. They couldn't get words out of their mouth because they were so scared to stand in front of the king who has the power of life and death. That they were, you say the wrong word and who knows what's going to happen to you. There's a Maisa in Brisk, when Rabbi Shulay was the Rav, that the Tsar came to the city of Brisk. They made a new hospital there. I think the Jews, that it was a Jewish hospital, it was the Jews had funded it, etc. And the Tsar was going to come to see this hospital. And the Rabbi Shulay said that the Rosh HaKahal should not be there when the Tsar comes. And he, of course, very insulted. Who was the rabbi to help me with the wagon? Where I should go? Of course, I'm going to go, and I'm going to be the one to lead the delegation and show the Tsar around the hospital. So, going along, at some one time, the Tsar says, I think that window over there would make more sense over there. So he starts explaining to the Tsar why it makes more sense where it is. So after the Tsar leaves, the police come and take him and put him in jail. You insulted the Tsar. The correct answer when the Tsar says, you just put it over there. He says, yes, sir, we will move it as quickly as possible. You don't explain to him why he's wrong. You balgaiva, you. This is exactly what Shulay was scared about. You said it in front of the Malach Malchim Malchim. The pachad is overwhelming. And the person's first action is to reach out to you and caress you and kiss you. And say, my kind, I want to hear from you. You are so special to me. That's what tefillah is. Feel as a caress and a kiss from a Kaddish Baruch Hu. So comes along the Mesil Shoshorim, and he does not say the shot like this Asemis. He says that a person, before he starts davening, should be misbainen with simcha atzuma, tremendous simcha, that he's zoicha to stand in front of the Melech. So, what does tefillah do for us? A person walks in and he's worn out, he's tired, it's not going well. You go into a person not having a good day, etc. He goes into Moshe Feinstein's. He walks into Moshe, and Moshe gives him a smile, gives him a hug, gives him a kiss. It's so good to see you. I'm so happy to see you. You're so special to me. You made his day. Right? Walks out, big smile on his face. That's how he's supposed to walk out of Daven. I have this challenge also, but so far I have not seen most people walking out of davening afterwards with this like tremendous smile on their face. Wow, davening really raised my, made me feel so much better for today. But that's what davening is supposed to do. That's what tefillah is. Tefillah is an act of human being talking to his creator. Is there anything more special than that? Rebbe Anderson Leibschitz writes that the tefillah was the high point of his day. Because it's an opportunity of him to go and unburden himself to his man, to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Wilbur writes that he sees Bachar working intensely on davening, and they're shuckling and they're pushing themselves, and you see this intense kavanah, etc. He says davening is the most natural thing which a human being should ever do. We're nivroyim. There's a bore. We need him. We know that. And he allows us to come to him. That's the chiddush of tefillah. And he's interested in us, not like the Venezuelan said, also Lakim of Zoritz Chas of Shalom. Like, it didn't make any sense to them that the Bershom should be interested in mankind. Avraham Avinu was the one who came to the world and said, that's not true. The Bershom is interested in you, he cares about you. The Bershom loves you, and he wants to hear from you, and he wants to talk to you. Well, if you're a Nivra and there's a Bari, what else do you do? Tefillah is the most natural thing what a human being should do. I once heard from a recording from Rabbi Avida Miller Zatzal. He touched on the Gemara. The Gemara says that Mishnah, beginning of Baba Kama, Mava, one of the Arbabas and Zikan is Mava. The Gemara says, why is Adam called Mava? One Pshat, the Gemara is referring to Adam. Adam is called Mava. Im tiboyun tiboyu. So he said, man is a seeker. Man is the one who seeks out of Kadosh Baruch Hu. He reaches out to Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's the natural instinct of man. The Mishnah is touching him. This is what man is. This is what he does naturally. Rabbi De Miller Zatzal, Yisadavin, Tefillah, and the following Nusach. When I came here first year I was here, besides teaching base manners, I also taught in the high school in the 8th grade. And the pace of tefillah was a little bit quicker than I was used to. From I davened with the middle school, and I was used to davening in Tel Shiva, so it was a little bit challenging for me. It still is, 22 years later. But Kal Vachomer then. And I was talking to the boys about one time about the idea of davening slower. So one of the boys asked me, totally innocently, and he didn't, you know, just want, I want to understand. It says, okay, you're saying tefillah is talking to Kadosh Baruch Hu. I get it. So you walk over to your friend and say, how are you? I am fine. That's not normal. You talk, just naturally, you just talked. He had such a good kasha. How are you? Some, well, they sing when they, you know, some people jump up and down. You're talking, just have a conversation. Like, please, like, stop it. And also, like, you know, to force yourself. How are you? How are you? Like, just, hello, how are you? So rhythm says, I used to say, Baruch Atah Hashem. I'm your Lawrence. He spoke like he's talking to another human being. You ever hear his recordings? Like, you know, it's not a bad imitation. Anyway, he spoke to Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's all it is. It's not hard. It's not supposed to be hard. Okay, why is it hard? Because sometimes we don't know what the words mean. I don't know what the words mean. But it's three times a day, human beings, it's the highlight of Rabbi Yonasan Eibson's day. Now, Rabbi Yonasan Eibson was like this, Nebuchadnezzar didn't know how to learn. He's a crazy place, he's the Urim Tumim. You know, he's the Bnei Ahuva. His drush is a gavaldik. His highlight of his day was the opportunity for a human being, he has as the creation of Kadosh Baruch Hu, to come to his creator. There's nothing more powerful than the creator, there's nothing less powerful than a human being. And talk to him and present him with his needs. But that's the verse says, and that's the greatest shevach that exists in the world. Avraham Avinu taught the world this lesson. Till then they thought, it's beneath the Kadosh Baruch Hu's dignity to be involved in mankind. Avraham Avinu said, Adar, but that's exactly why Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world. He wants to have a relationship with you. You have this tremendous godel, this tremendous Talmud Chacham. Right, and he's busy with all these learning Dorm Shalalim. He learns Kabbalah, you know, every night between 12 and 7. He learns Nigla the whole day. He sleeps at 1.5 hours. He goes to the mikvah 14 times. He comes to you and says, Yaakov, I want to have a shaychus to you. Please come to me whenever you need. Come on, it's got to feel warm. It's got to be a hug. It's feel as a hug from Kadosh Baruch Hu. Tefillah is very humbling. If you know I'm the one in charge, so then Takit's the old version says, Takit, really, you doesn't hear what you have to say if you think you're the one in charge. It's the recognition that you're a Nivra. There's nothing weaker than a Nivra compared to Bare. It's tremendous anivis. That's the Avodah. That's the Avodah Shavaleth. I have to come to the Baruch Hu and say, Rishon, you know what? I cannot do anything on my own. I can't get Das myself. Please give me Das. Now, for most of like these people in Yeshiva, they don't have any the money is not the issue. They're not misborn their money. They're not misborn their good looks necessarily. They're not misborn their physical strength. They're just smart because they're smart. So the first bakasha is, Rishon, I'm not smart. You make me smart. Without you, I'm nothing. Yeshiva told us a maisa. So those of you who have been here for a little while already, you've heard of Ramota Pogromansky. So Ramota Pogromansky was an Eloi Otsum. We should give this all in the history of Tel Shiva, that only two people got the title of Eloi, and he was one of them. He came to Tel Shiva without background, Tel Shiva in Europe. 2 years later, he was in the top shir in Yeshiva. The top shir in Yeshiva was given by the Grai. It was a Pilpa shir set Thursday nights from 12 midnight until 7 in the morning. It was a 7-hour shir. He was in the top shir within 2 years in the Yeshiva. Rishim Gifter said that he could take the most esoteric concept in Kabbalah and explain it so clearly that a 5-year-old child could understand it. He had such an understanding and such a clarity. He was a Baal Machshava. Rabaron has the stories he tells over. Rabaron has the stories he tells over about his Machshavas. He was Mamash and Isha Tzilus. We have nothing written from Ramat Pogromansky. Rashiva told us why. He couldn't write. He couldn't write. There's a saying in Yiddish, Noach Mezibin Greisen, that writing the name word Noach, the name Noach was 7 mistakes. Like you really got it wrong, you know. So how many mistakes can you make in the word Noach? Right? So Ramoto says, I can't write. He says, what do you can't write? The most brilliant man you've ever met in my life. He says, Rashi gives each das is a different das. Rashi gives a das of speech. Gives a das of understanding. Gives a das to write. I never got that das. I can't write. He couldn't write. I mean, he knew what the Sir Theisius looked like, but he couldn't. He could read. But he couldn't make his hand write. He could be the most brilliant person in the world. He can't write. Because the Russian didn't give him that das. So the first bakasha of Shimon Esrei, yeshiva people, they're proud of their intelligence. The intelligence is given by Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's taken away. Person chas v'shalom walks out the door, car hits him, he's not so smart anymore. His head is affected. The Russian made him smart, now he takes it away. It's very humbling to recognize that you're not so smart. But that's exactly what we need to do. Because tefillah is an act of emunah, and the stipler writes in a letter that the biggest impediment to emunah is gaiva. It's Baruch HaManus, he says, a person who removes his gaiva, emunah is automatic. You want a skula to have more emunah, get rid of your gaiva. That's what he writes. So the avodah here is the act of being mashpil ourselves. Of lowering in front of Kodesh Baruch Hu, recognizing that I'm not so smart, it's not my wisdom, how I figured out that great scheme to become so rich. The Baruch Hu gave me that. He gave you the Eitz HaLiknos Nichsin, the Targum Taiches. And at any moment, you take it away. The Mice of Nana Behuda, one of the Gevirim in the Kahal, was very rich, he was very smart, he was very learned, and he's a bit Trenis Balgaiver. And the Nadir Buda points out to him that he needs that daven the Kodesh Baruch Hu b'siyata neshma. He says, no, there's no way I can fall and lose what I have. So Nadir Buda says the person should save you. Kitzer, right after that, one night he wakes up and he has this tremendous desire to be geshmatzach, an uncontrollable urge to geshmatzach. He runs to the Beis Tifla, to the Gala, and he says, I want to get geshmatzach. They didn't believe him. This is the Rosh Kahal of the Jews. He says, no, I'm serious. He says, what can I do to prove it to you? If write over a shtar with all of your properties to the church, and we'll believe you. So he wrote a shtar, everything we own belongs to the church, and he geshmatzach. Goes to bed, wakes up in the morning, and he's, what am I doing here? Where? How'd I get here? He says, what am I doing? He goes to the Gaza. He says, what do you mean? You came last night. He says, that's not just talking about. He says, they showed him the document. So he's a broken man. He's an idiot. He looks like he converted. He lost any of his cover that he has in the community. He gave away all of his money. He's penniless. He's totally wiped out. So he goes back to the Behuda and says, okay, I get it now. Now what? Says, Daven to Kodesh Baruch Hu for help. No. Daven to Kodesh Baruch Hu for help. That night, the fire breaks out of the church. The document is burnt. The Galak is killed. And everything is wonderful. Nobody knows what the story. Everything is wonderful. Right. Russian is mashpil gay. Russian, we don't want the Russian to be mashpil the gay. We want to do it ourselves. So we come to Kodesh Baruch Hu. We stand in front of Kodesh Baruch Hu. We say, Baruch Shalom, it's been a garnished. I talk, I have nothing of my own. But you love this garnished so much that you want to hear what I have to say. Please help me. So what are we getting out of tefillah? We're getting out of tefillah, humility. If we really think about the words, how much we need a Kodesh Baruch Hu, how much we must get from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, that's very humbling. I have no control over my life. I have no control over my of life. Any moment the neshama can be taken away, it's not mine. It's the person's. What do I own which is mine? My clothing? My body? My mind? My soul? What's mine? It's very humbling. That's the avodah. It is so uplifting because the Baruch Hu says that you, seemingly insignificant being, are so important to me that I want to hear what you have to say. I want a relationship with you. You're important to me. Please talk to me. And it's a kiss and a caress of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's so, such an interest is so so uplifting. Such a caress and such a hug is so invigorating. It means so much. It gives value to our lives. It gives us simcha. And when we spend them, before we start with the awe of the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Shem Sosai Tiftoch, and the simcha that we're able to, even so, that we're worthless and we don't deserve it, Rashi wants to hear. And he says, "Look, hey, Avraham."